The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of My Brother and Me. My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm your oldest brother.
My name is Travis McElroy, and I'm your middlest brother.
I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy. Boys, the fucking energy is electrifying in the studio today.
That's because we are all on fire waiting for our chance to see Kung Fu Panda 3. America's favorite panda Poe is back. He's joined by Bryan Cranston as Lee, Dustin Hoffman, a galaxy of stars.
A whole nebula of beautiful stars shining up there on the silver screen. I gotta say, Kung Fu Panda 3 watch, it's been a while since we've had a watch before, it's been a while. And now here we are again, and I have to say congratulations, Kung Fu Panda 3.
Didn't it come out like a month ago?
No, it's on right now. We're all waiting for our chance to see it.
I feel like I've been seeing previews for it for like 2.5 years.
Well, that's because they've got to build the heat. They've got to build the buzz, Travis. In Hollywood, things are very competitive today.
Griffin, what can you tell me about what you know about the plot of Kung Fu Panda 3?
Well, following on the heels of Kung Fu Panda 2, the Dragon Shrine has been disgraced by the ape colony. And they will have a big fight. And Lucy Liu is a snake in it, and she...
we seem to have lost Griffin, so excited, so fully pumped in the energy.
Guys, I just got so excited, this electrifying energy. My throat literally closed up, and I couldn't breathe for like a full 30 seconds.
Do you have your EpiPen? Your Kung Fu Panda 3 branded EpiPen?
Yeah, it shoots... like ramen broth into my veins.
That's the thing, right? That he is both a kung fu master and a chubster. Like, is that the whole point of the three movies?
I am so excited about Kung Fu Panda 3. I have yet to watch 1 and 2, but I really feel like 3 is the one that's going to get me into this franchise. A lot of people
are worried that you'll be lost, Justin, like when I just saw The Matrix 3?
A lot of people have been asking me, Justin, is Kung Fu Panda 3 a good entryway to the series? And as somebody who has not seen Kung Fu Panda 1 or 2, but is very excited about 3.
Also has not seen 3 yet, because again, gang, it's been out for a couple days. We just haven't. Who's got the time?
Just haven't made it, but the fire is electrifying. But my answer to that question is an unqualified yes. This is the place for new fans, and I feel like a new generation is about to fall in love with Poe, that beloved Kung Fu Panda.
I was led to believe that Kung Fu Panda 3 was a bit of a reboot for the series, much grittier, much darker. It's the first one to have an R rating. The other ones really skirted it with like a really hard PG-13.
Yeah, the foo stands for fucking.
Yeah, and this is the first one that really like leans into the original source material and is full frontal panda nudity.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's always been the whole franchise. Panda don't wear pants.
Yeah, but this time you can actually see his dong.
You can see his dong through the whole thing. I've been led to believe. Haven't caught it yet. But do you think...
Well, they're not going to show it in the previews, Justin. They're not going to give away the cow when you get the dong for free.
Oh, my God, guys. Right now, stop what you're doing and find a poster of Kung Fu Panda 3. I'm going to drop a link for my brothers here in our Skype chat. If you could just look at that poster real quick and imagine his dong was there, it's the greatest poster that has ever been or ever will be. I understand this is a visual gag. It's too important.
Okay, but no, yeah, it would be,
It would be
literally
the greatest.
Sitting, he's got his legs spread, balancing between two pillars as what looks like six children look up at, like, perfectly where... You know what? You don't even need to have the dong on this poster. Yeah, there's six children implied. Looking up into his either his dong or his asshole.
That is a great
point. They can see through him.
The children in this poster are looking at his gaping butthole.
They're all baby birding underneath his gaping butthole. One dude is literally mouth agape at his gaping butthole.
This spiritual sequel to The Human Centipede takes Poe in the role of the nutrient provider and the baby pandas as those who are gobbling up the sweet, sweet food.
Are you reading this from the IMDb page, Justin?
Yeah, this is from the credits narration.
the scroll.
This is the scroll that goes up before the film. I'm just so fucking excited to see
Fucking excited to see Kung Fu Panda 3 as soon as I get the opportunity. Gang, I went to Hong Kong last year and I saw an actual panda. And you know what I did? I yelled, fuck you, at it. Because it's not my Poe. I said, not my Poe.
I'm most excited about Jackie Chan.
Absolutely.
And is it live action Jackie Chan like Michael Jordan in Space Jam?
It's like Cool World, Jackie Chan edition.
But if Jackie Chan dies in Kung Fu Panda 3, does he die in the real world?
Any world with Jackie Chan in it is a cool world.
It's like Who Framed Jackie Chan, except nobody can, because how are you going to stop him? He just chopped that frame to bits, chop it to matchsticks. Hey, Travis.
Yes?
Rank them.
Good question, Justin. I'm going to say 1, 2, and 3.
You're counting. Rank them.
Okay, 2, 3, and 1.
Some justification for your rankings.
Okay, well, I'm going to say 2 because it's my favorite, and then 3 because it's my second favorite, and then 1 because it's my third favorite.
Okay, perfect. That's excellent. Griffin, rank them.
Oh, shit. Dustin Hoffman, Seth Rogen.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Hudson.
Yeah.
James Hong.
Oh.
Okay. Fuck, marry, kill, Jack Black, Poe with Jack Black's head.
God.
Oh, well.
I would probably fucking kill all of them.
We are just so excited about Kung Fu
Panda
3.
Just so excited. The electricity in the studio is electrifying.
We're on fire here for this film. Bryan Cranston was in Breaking Bad, and he could have done anything. You know what he did? Several things. And then after those, do you know what he did after those? A couple more. And then, you know what he did? Kung Fu Panda 3. Okay?
It says on his IMDb page, he ran out of things to do and started back at the beginning again with Kung Fu Panda 3.
Bryan Cranston
is a flat circle.
Bryan Cranston wept because there are no more countries to conquer. So he said, fuck it. It's time for me to get up in the panda mix. And so he did it. Oh, God. I'm just fucking raging hard on for this flick, guys.
Just like Poe.
Wait.
Hey, let's go, not to the money zone, because we haven't earned that, but let's do some advice.
Okay, sure. Sounds good.
I guess I'll close this picture of Kung Fu Panda now.
Here's my first piece of advice. Get a ticket today to go see Kung Fu Panda. See it in 3D. See it in 1D. You'll still enjoy it.
It's just a line of changing color.
And sound, that glorious sound, which is like a fifth dimension, because you'll be teleported.
Wow. Jesus, Justin, you're right.
What?
Sound is the fifth dimension.
Hey, why are we just now figuring this out? You're welcome. Gravity waves, schmavity waves, I say. Go see Kung Fu Panda 3. It's got gravity in it.
It's got gravity, and it'll take you to the sound
and
dimension.
And it's got gravitas.
It's got gravitas. It's so important.
So important.
So important.
Oh, I wish this movie had a smell so I could smell it.
Yeah.
Find the right theater.
Or the wrong one.
Hey, read a question.
I will read a question. I'm just so excited right now. You need a distraction. Is that what it is? Is it the 10 solid minutes of talking about Kung Fu? I'm not sure we've gotten to 10 solid minutes of expressing our excitement about Kung Fu Panda 3. I'm using new recording equipment, and I can't tell exactly where it started.
We're at 10.
Are we at 10? Yeah, like, I don't want to tell people. Okay, let me see this. Poe would never promise to use Kung Fu on someone and then not do it in front of an audience. And
or vice versa. Yeah.
I don't want to promise 10 minutes of unadulterated Kung Fu Panda 3 excitement
content,
and then not deliver it in the final recording.
That's a great point.
So if there's anything, Griffin, any stitch of audio you think you might edit out from the previous 10 minutes, please, please let me know.
The only part that I'll edit out is
more about the adventures of Poe and Co.
The sequel. The only part I'll probably edit out is where I talked about how this my excitement for this film had given me a raging hog. Raging Hog is my favorite of the Kung Fu Panda crew, too. He's like a mean old Mongolian pig man.
It's Slippery Snake, Raging Hog.
Hot cock. Throbbing cock.
Throbbing cock. Whistling clam.
Rabid Weasel. Listen. Hey, listen.
Penis Tom.
This is unexpected and perhaps a little unprecedented in cinema, but I am so excited about Kung Fu Panda 3 that I want a sequel to Kung Fu Panda 3. I don't want
Kung Fu Panda 3 2.
I want Kung Fu Panda 3 2. Yes, is that possible?
Anything's possible in this crazy, weird, Holly weird.
Okay, so I'll answer some questions now. It's really hard for me to...
Well, let's give it a try and we'll see like how it goes.
If I offer a coveted ticket to an event for free to someone, how long should I give them to respond? I had someone hem and haw for weeks before...
before taking the ticket to Kung Fu Panda 3.
That's what the ticket... Why did it have to be about a ticket? Because all I can think about is... I'll just insert it so my mind doesn't wander, okay?
Okay.
I'm watching a trailer in another window. Let me just pause it. Hold on. Wait, I've got three of them going simultaneously. So let me pause at different parts. So they're looping endlessly. Let me just pause. Okay. 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 All right. I got them all closed. Well, minimized. So I can still hear them. If I offer a coveted ticket to Kung Fu Panda 3 for free to someone, how long should I give them to respond? I had someone hem and haw for weeks before giving me a response about going to Kung Fu Panda 3 with a free hotel room provided.
Oh, man.
Now, to be fair, that movie's so good,
it really took it out of me. I need to go to sleep right now. Well, we provide hotel rooms.
To be fair, that is was actually regarding Comic-Con and a free hotel room, hundreds and hundreds of dollars, as opposed to the $12.95 to see Kung Fu Panda
3. In 2D. I mean, you're going to be paying... Okay.
You pay extra for 2D?
Yeah, I would.
How many Ds you want?
No, you're going to get them all in Kung Fu Panda 3D. Another friend waited a week to tell me they couldn't make it to a music festival. That's from Irritated Altruist. So...
This is crazy. First of all, Comic-Con with a free hotel room is... That's what? Like a G? That's like one stack? Easily?
Yeah.
That's like great. That's an enormous thing to give to somebody for free. And for them to not like shoot from the hip and be like, yes, $1,000. Thank you. Yes. At the very least, they could take it and resell it and get that stat.
I feel like you are so within your rights after like 3 days to just say like, hey, I need to hear back on this. If you can't do it, I'll ask someone else. Like,
I think you can grindstone a little bit. It's worth, if there's a value on it, I think it's worth giving them a timetable when you make the offer. If there's any hemming and hawing, just like, hey, I need you to let me know in like 3 days, because if not, I'm going to get somebody else to go with me. And because I think that at offering it, like offering a timeline later, it feels like I think it makes you seem desperate for like it, considering the fact that you're like giving someone a gift, like you shouldn't have to do that. You shouldn't have to establish a timeline later. They should just be accepting it, like going for it.
And there's a really, you get to use the sentence, I really need to figure this out, which is a really official sounding sentence, but doesn't actually like imply any kind of consequences. It's not like I got Jim breathing down my neck, man. I really got to figure this out. So if after like 3 days, you can just be like, yeah, I really need to get this figured out. Are you able to go? Because if not, I need to like figure something else out.
I'm about to toe a pretty hard line on this. You give them 30 fucking seconds. This is a $1,000 trip I'm offering to take you, my best friend Kyle, to. You have 30 fucking seconds to make up your mind. Because this is a wonderful opportunity. And if you don't jump at it now.
When someone asks me if I want to do something, when I say, let me look at my schedule and figure it out, I'm lying. Almost all the time I'm lying. I think everybody is, right? Like, if you're into something and you're like into it right away, you just say yes. And the other things
figure it
like,
out.
They'll figure it out around that. If I say, let me think about it. Let me look at my schedule. What I'm saying is, let me talk to my wife and see if she can help me cook up a pretty good lie for why I can't go to your thing. Like, she won't let me lie, but she'll help me come up with a reason why I can't. Because I need that sometimes to help sort through these things. Or my wife will convince me, hey, this is something you should probably do. It'd be good for you to do it. But either way, like, it means let me talk to my wife about it.
That's not necessarily a reflection on you, the question asker, on whether they want to go with you. Sometimes just committing to something in the future, like, gives me such panic attacks of what if something happens? But what if, like, in a month, somebody tells me I need to do blah, blah, blah? You know what I mean? Like, it's not always like, well, I don't want to go with Joan. Sometimes it's like, okay, but, like, do I want to commit to something? Like, I sat on, like, buying concert tickets for, like, 20 minutes just going, but who knows the future?
I did the opposite. I accidentally bought 17 tickets to Carly Rae Jepsen this coming weekend.
You just kept clicking?
I just kept doing it over and over again because I was like, what if I lose the first 16?
What would you rather have? Would you rather have someone hem and haw for, like, 2 weeks or have someone say yes immediately and then, like, a week before the event be like, hey, I can't go, and now you're fucked?
Oh, that's a good point, Travis, because the side effect of them answering too quickly might be that they have to bail, and that's the worst, right?
Yeah. So I feel like you have to find a balance between those two of, like, here's your timeline, so it gives me enough time to ask other people. Because especially if it's like, listen, it's 4 months till Comic-Con or whatever, I need an answer. And then versus like, okay, well, I have 3 days till Comic-Con to find someone else to go with now.
I'll tell you, if you really want to get good at making these kinds of distinctions, plan a wedding. Because that is literally just like 150 times. Just like, hey, you want to come get like fucked up and eat some sick food and dance to some dope tunes with me and my newly betrothed? And then you'll get like, let me sit on that for a month and a half. Oh, the happiest day of your life? Let me just sit on that. Oh, yeah, I'll totally be in there. Yeah, totally. 5 days before the event. Can't make it. Guess you have to throw that food in the yard. Guess you have to pour that wine down the toilet.
I think that the better approach is to not ask people way out in advance, because for me, the likelihood that I'll accept an offer like this actually grows as it gets close to the event, because I think it starts to take on the fun of spontaneity. One time I was going to a murder mystery with a bunch of friends, and I had two friends who had an illness in the family, and they had to bail like 24 hours before. And my friend Michael Beck lives in Indiana, and I called that thug the morning of and said, hey, get in your car and start driving to Ohio. You're going to a murder mystery this weekend. And that dude did it. He found an ascot, and that weekend he ended up running from a guy in a werewolf costume. So these things do pan out sometimes.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a whole crazy story that we'll have to tell. It's the most scared I've ever been in my entire life.
Okay, no, but I don't want us to get too deep into it, but I do want to say, like, that's not a good murder mystery. The werewolf done did it.
The werewolf was a rogue member.
He was not associated with the
company putting on the murder mystery.
He was, if you will, a lone wolf.
Yeah, okay.
And he scared me in a gypsy camp, and I ran silently through the woods. I ran into a tree, but he could not find me. I was very proud of myself.
You cover your tracks. You put down that tiger pit.
The one last thing I want to say about this.
I also pretended that a gun I had magical wolf killing powers, because once a werewolf shows up, you're playing Calvin Ball. Like, the rules of the murder mystery done fell away.
The best laid plans of mice and men just go straight down the turlet when a werewolf rolls up. Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Yes. Can I take a quick sidebar?
Yeah.
It's not about Kung Fu Panda 3.
That's not true.
Though it is about cinema. I would say now top three discussions that we've had on My Brother and Me, and we never circle back around to things on this show. It is actually a part of the DNA of this program that we never look back.
No, it is a linear march through time.
We had our next march removed.
But I have to say, the conversation that we've gotten perhaps the most, at least top three feedback in the entire history of this show, has been our conversation about Travis's experience watching Night at the Museum 3 with three mics. Folks, we had like Freddie Wong, who is an actual person who is making video professionally, create a fabrication, a lie, to support Travis's story. There are people creating fake web pages.
There are people who reshot Malcolm in the Middle scenes to try to justify it.
Yeah.
Frankie Muniz came out of retirement to shoot Malcolm in the Middle scenes.
I don't know who the fuck the, like, who's leading this worldwide Illuminati conspiracy just to troll me and Justin.
And the craziest thing is everybody's been saying, like, Travis, you've been vindicated. I also thought I was making it up.
Yeah.
I also believed it was a fever dream brought on by Ben Stiller's amazing performance in Night at the Museum.
In case you didn't listen last week, Travis saw Night at the Museum 3 and could swear that the film was framed in such a way that he was seeing, like, boom mics and stuff through the entire production.
Well, let's not rewrite history. It was Night at the Museum 1. I have never, nor will ever, see Night at the Museum 3.
They know what they did. Let me just say this, because the thing we've heard is there's a thing called, according to this fucking worldwide conspiracy thing called open matting, where the fucking projectionists are apparently supposed to put up the letterbox around it, and if they don't put it up right, you see the wires and shit.
That's the joke that's we true, said that's on the most thing.
That's the most ridiculous thing ever. The people would film this shit and be like, cameraman, are you sure? Because there's like...
Yeah, some 18-year-old drunk kid will take care of it.
Yeah, don't worry, guys. We got it 90 yards down the field. Drunk Brian, drunk 16-year-old Brian's going to get it the rest of the way. He's going to run it into the end zone.
While he's playing with his nunchucks.
We put $6 trillion into the making of Avatar. I think Brian's got it.
Do you think that if you saw Avatar like this, that the bottom of the screen, you just see, like, James Cameron's legs as he's moving puppets around and shit?
You would see the Navi's, like... like bottom of their torsos, and it's just not painted blue. It's just like a regular fleshy torso and like a regular non-blue genitals.
You see the
like,
hand.
I'm not even wearing my Navi pants down here, guys. Let's loosen up. Casual Friday. Brian's got it.
You see the hand up Yoda's ass, like making it talk. Like, this is the worst Star Wars I've ever seen.
And you
this.
See the puppeteer's other hand, like making a fake jerk off motion on the Yoda puppet. Like, ah, get it. Don't worry. Brian will get this. What the fuck? Holly weird. Do you think if we open Matt Kung Fu Panda 3, we'll see like Jack Black underneath Poe, like doing the lines down here,
just writing Tenacious D lyrics?
Yeah. Oh fuck.
So Travis was lying. Please,
please,
yourself.
God, you're embarrassing yourselves, and stop sending us these Malcolm in the Middle screen caps. I mean, I love good Malcolm in the Middle jokes as much as anybody, but fuck.
I'll take as many glossy JPEGs of Malcolm in the Middle as you have.
You can just zip those right over to my inbox.
Yeah, just zip drive those up, put them on a jazzy drive, and just flip those over to us, please.
I will say, there was one of these that showed Dewey's stand-in, and it's the most mental thing I've ever seen. This weird Dewey homunculus standing next to Frankie Muniz. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's as though
what was the kid who played Dewey doing
that he couldn't be in that shot?
Yeah.
Is it on me? No, then I'll be in my fucking trailer. Get Dennis out here.
If you guys get the matting wrong, I'll fucking kill you. I have it in my contract.
Dewey, damn it!
It's as though someone is filming Malcolm in the Middle and behind them someone is sweeting Malcolm in the Middle. Like they're creating their own Malcolm in the Middle fan film directly in the same shot.
This Yahoo. Yahoo was sent in by this Fuck. One was sent in by Morgan Davey. Thank you, Morgan. It's by Yahoo Answers user Wade, who asks, can anyone recommend some good weightlifting music? I'm making a playlist of workout songs for my high school weight room, and I need some great heavy metal songs with great pump-up riffs and heavy drums. Nothing from the 80s, please. Late 90s to modern day, please. YouTube links would be appreciated. No rap, pop, hip-hop, or techno.
Nothing from the 80s? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of restrictions on here that this person can go fuck themselves about.
Does Weird Al fit into this?
Now, explain.
I think that it would make really good pump-up jams.
Okay. I respectfully disagree.
Fair enough. What about, when were the Scorpions?
They're actually, they're modern day.
They're describing like one. It's like they want you to back into one song. Like they have one song in mind.
To across my weightlifting bridge, you must answer this riddle. How about this? If you're trying to get sick gains, then might I recommend Chris Gaines?
The heaviest of metals.
fuck heavy metal. No, let's put that restriction in the garbage, because if that's the case, then we're not going to get anywhere. We know how to get this person sick gains better than anybody, and that is to listen to the sweat-pumping, muscle-grinding rock riffs of Chris Gaines.
That was the whole point of Chris Gaines, right? Because Garth Brooks said, okay, well, I can't do the heavy rock that I want to, so he Stefan Urkeld himself,
right,
and made Chris Gaines, so Chris Gaines could do the rock anthems that he had been dreaming of.
The greatest regret of my life is that this program was not in production while the Chris Gaines saga was unfolding.
Oh, Jesus.
My dream, actually, I want our Max Fun bonus episode to be a alternate reality episode released the week that Chris Gaines is like on SNL and behind the music, and like,
can you imagine
while it's happening? Because I like, I'm so sad that I was not talking. Do you know that this fool said Chris Gaines was from Australia?
Like, can you imagine being in like his management entourage group when fucking G Brooks is like, guys, I've got
this sick idea.
He said he's from Australia. Like, like, first off, like, you're not only locking yourself into like making this alter ego. If you do an interview, you have to, like, Garth Brooks is like, oh fuck, they talk different, don't they? Shit. Okay, hold on. Give me a second. Let me try to cook shrimp on the barbie. Like, Garth,
hello,
no.
There, it's me, Chris Gaines.
No way, Garth Brooks.
Can I pivot a little bit? Why do people work out? Why do people get those sick gains to get those fucking glistening fish lifters?
I'm only calling him Chris Gaines from now on, by the way. All I want in the gym is Chris Gaines.
Okay.
Is it to impress people that they would like to engage in sexual congress with?
That's probably part of it, right? But there's a lot of different ways that you can do that. I think for the most part, it is an intimidation, right? You make yourself bigger to scare. I mean, this is basic wilderness shit. You make yourself big to scare off a predator. So you want to make yourself big so you can intimidate people and get like fucking power plays all over the place. Now, if that's the case, I think you carry that whole aesthetic over to the gym while you're trying to get Chris Gaines.
Mm-hmm.
To that extent, why not just put on a song on a big speaker that's just going to sort of freak everybody out? And while you're getting your gains and sort of attract attention to yourself, and you are enjoying it and getting Chris Gaines to a song that maybe people don't understand and maybe they're scared of that.
And maybe just say anything, the whole thing, and you're just lifting the speaker over your head, and that's how you're doing your curls. You're getting your Chris Gaines by blasting Chris Gaines over your head and just
screaming.
Well,
no, Chris Gaines is too obvious a choice. I'm saying we keep it weird. I'm saying, what about the, like, you're doing some deadlifts to the theme song to the cartoon show Bobby's World?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you're, like, crunching it, and you've got, like, a lot of crunching some bars, and it's just like... Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, yeah. Some big gains today, boys, huh?
Sounds like a guy masturbating to Bobby's World.
Yeah, it can be both. Yeah, 61.
It is kind of I will say this. It's kind of a horrifying theme song. Like, it's kind of really scary.
Out of context, it's very, like, Tim Burton clown nightmare.
Yeah, if you slowed that down, like, a half beat, like, I think you would have something very, very terrifying.
Put it in, like, a minor key. Put that in a minor key. And then you just hit the fucking Everyday Fitness and get some fucking fish lifters.
What if you just played Books on Tape over the sound system?
What book? What book? What book? What book?
What book? This is good. This is Travis to really
stick. Eat, Pray, Love.
Okay, yeah.
Eat, Pray, Lift. Like, that's...
Eat, Pray, Lift.
Dear God, please let me get gains today. Oh, thank you. Will you please... I told you this before. Don't pray with your mouth full. It's rude to me. It's rude to God. You want to go to the Money Zone?
Yes. Hell yeah. Great website, maybe the best one ever. Go to McElroyShows.com, and you're going to see a modern work of, like, art, I guess. Art, maybe. Art. I
mean, it's art. It's art and science.
And commercialism and capitalism and, like, big business and fuckboys. We sold out.
We did it.
Travis, how hard was it to make a site with Squarespace?
Honestly, Justin, and I'm not just saying this because they are our sponsors this week, it was the easiest fucking thing in the world. And not just easy to do, but easy to make look really nice because they had amazing templates. And it was a lot of it was just like, okay, I'm going to type in this thing. And then they took that information and turned it into a really polished, sharp looking website. We've got a website that I can't recommend it enough, how much I loved working with Squarespace and how many compliments I've gotten on it.
Yeah, it looks pro and it's not that hard to do. You can start your free trial today. Visit squarespace.com/mybrother. You should. Squarespace.
I want to talk about me undies, wearing them right now. I've got those lounge pants. It is like a blanket.
Did you get those Keith Haring Valentine's Day designs?
Of course I got those Keith Haring Valentine's Day designs. I wore them and I felt, can I just say something? And this may turn some people off. I felt sexy all day.
I'm more worried it may turn some people on.
I'm not worried about that at all. I felt grown sexy.
Like a grown boy.
I felt terrific, like a grown sexy lad. Like Poe in Kung Fu Panda 2.
With your dong covered.
Yes, please.
Nothing can describe the fit and feel of MeUndies. They are dedicated to providing the world's most comfortable underwear, and you have to experience them for yourself. Every single week, we hear from listeners who finally took the plunge and got the MeUndies, and they're never going back.
When I wear non-MeUndies, I feel like a criminal.
That should go to jail.
I feel like I should go to jail. I feel like I've been a bad lad.
Shipping is free in the U.S. and Canada, and you can save up to $8 per pair with the MeUndies subscription plan. You can get the subscription or a single pair. You get 20% off your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/mybrother. That's MeUndies.com/mybrother for 20% off your first order.
Men, women, everybody, matching underpants, go do it.
Go get it.
Go get it.
We also have another message here.
How can people get messages on our show, Travi?
Oh, you can go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron, Griffin. Oh, it's a great question. Thank you. Can I tell you about Photo JoJo?
Oh, I wish yes, you would. I love Photo JoJo.
The bad guy from fucking Powerpuff Girls?
No, that's his brother.
Okay.
Photo JoJo has photography gear for everyone because everyone has a camera in their pocket these days. From nifty little lenses that attach to your phone to the latest instant camera from Polaroid. Yep. They still make them, to cute camera straps and backup phone batteries. Go check out all this great stuff at photojojo.com. That's photo, like the word photo, jojo, J-O-J-O.com. Use the coupon code MIDDLEIST to save $5. Plus, it took a lot to convince my coworkers that this ad would be money well spent. Show them I'm right, men bambinos.
The cutest thing they got is they have a sort of a battery that plugs into your phone to charge it up. And it's called Apple Juice, and it looks like a little container of apple juice. It's fucking adorable. I think Teresa got that, right? Like, Photo JoJo sent us some cool stuff. Teresa got the Apple Juice. There's really like super cute stuff, really neat accessories. And like, if you want to take better photos with your phone, which is still astounding that you can do that, by the way. That's wild. And not just phone stuff. They have camera equipment, too. PhotoJoJo.com, coupon code MIDDLEIST.
Can I tell a quick little vignette?
Yeah.
I was at a wedding this past weekend in New Orleans, and it was cute. They had the guest book, and then right next to the guest book, they had like one of these instant Polaroid cameras that take like the little pictures, little guys. And then they had another book that you would just like slide those into and like write your names right next to your picture, your little Polaroid selfie. But we were like an hour into the wedding and we realized nobody had used it yet. And so me and Rachel were like, well, the people who planned this wedding probably like wanted people to do this. So like, let's just like get it started so people feel more comfortable. And then we did it. We took a picture of ourselves and put it in the book and, you know, signed it. And then like a half hour went by and I started to get legitimately worried that we would be the only people to do it. And then our like wedding present to them would be like, here's a book with a picture of us only in it. Happy wedding. It's the Griffin and Rachel book for us at your wedding. It's us, though. It is us, though. It's your wedding, your special day, but it's our fucking book.
Did you think about just filling it with pictures of you and Rachel?
Did think about that, which would be another fun gift for anybody.
Anybody would love that. I got a message for Thomas from Sierra Madden Puppy and Piggy. It says, happy birthday. I wrote you a haiku. Here we go. My dungeon master, you are the Tom to my Gronk. Mandy Patinkin. I feel like at the end they just needed, they were maybe short on this.
Justin, everyone knows that in a haiku, you have to either have a reference to like spring, the nature, weather, or Mandy Patinkin.
You're talking about Kigo.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yes, and I guess I am. But aren't we all?
The traditional Kigo are, you know, they're relating to the current season. So something like leaves, flowers, renewal, sunshine. Mandy Patinkin. Because fucking Homeland's about to start up again.
People still on the tip, huh?
He's just, get one of his albums singing Broadway show tune.
Kidults. Don't mind if I do buy a copy of Kidults right now on Amazon because I can't find mine. Probably because I gave it to a dear friend. and another exciting announcement.
I committed kidultery. Unfortunately,
everybody who has a question read or a message on today's show will receive a free ticket to go see Kung Fu Panda 3. Yeah. Just email me, justin@teengoogle.com, and I'll make sure you get, I'm not fucking with you, I will make sure you get enough Fandango cash to go see Kung Fu Panda 3. If you use it for anything else, I'll fucking know.
That's only if you have a question right on the show, not if you just email Justin.
Yeah, no. If you have a question right on the show or one of those messages is from you, then please let me know and I'll make sure you get your ticket to Kung Fu Panda 3. And you got to go fucking see it if I'm going to do the thing. I want to see a ticket stub. You got
to
send me a picture.
We want to see pictures of you at the movie theater.
I will end you.
Holding the ticket stub, torn ticket stub.
I will. If you go fucking see Deadpool, I'll spend all my days trying to burn. I will salt the earth. I will call your place of employment and say
Justin
horrible
will become
lies.
A wanderer.
Dark
don't lines. Don't think that you're going to like outthink Justin and say like, oh, I can think of a funnier thing to do with this Fandango. No.
No.
There is nothing funnier you can do than go see Kung Fu Panda 3 and then let Justin know what you thought of it.
Justin, will you be paying enough for them to see it in 3D IMAX or just for your basic 2D version?
I'm not making money. It's a basic 2D version. This film is certified fresh, 81%. Please stop fucking around and go see Kung Fu Panda 3 in
theaters. We are not
now.
In any way paid to do this. I cannot make this clear enough. This is not native marketing or whatever the fuck it's called. We're just fans.
We're just fans of Kung Fu Panda 3 despite never having seen one of the films.
I've seen the first.
I think an episode of the TV show.
Is that Jack Black or is that a Jack Black alike?
I think it's probably just like his brother, Jack Brown.
You idiot.
Let's be honest. We live in a world with too much media. You need a podcast on the front lines figuring out what's great.
We're here for you. We're Pop Rocket.
I am Guy Branum. I'm a comedian.
I'm Winter Mitchell. I call myself a digital strategist.
I'm Oliver Wang, academic and disc junkie.
Margaret Wappler, je suis es journaliste.
And we watch, listen to, and read everything so that you don't have to. And then we tell you about all the things that you'll love to love.
Find us in iTunes or wherever you download podcasts.
Pop Rocket, every Wednesday from Maximum Fun.org.
I'm a fashion student. I love clothes and putting together outfits. But like you often say, a ship in harbor is safe. And sometimes I mess the heck up. And if this happens, MBD, I'll go change. But my friends and fam now make fun of me for times when they've seen me in two or three outfits in a day. I paint, sew, and go out pretty often. So it's not just from sartorial floop-ups. My question is, how are people not doing this? Are some people just okay with being uncomfortable socially or physically with their outfits? Do I have a problem? Not currently in the nude in the North XX.
So this person will often change clothes multiple times throughout the day.
Oh, okay. Got it. No. I mean, no. I have like a uniform, basically. I have jeans.
You realize we're three Dougs.
Like, we're basically three Dougs?
I got some t-shirts. I got some jeans, I got some cowboy boots, and that's what I call my Travis. That's all the accessories that come with the Travis doll.
I have never worn khaki pants where I did not first have a thought, where the fuck are my khaki pants? Like that's every time.
They were not at the ready.
Yeah, I do not have them like ready to go.
At this wedding I went to last weekend, I brought my wedding wear, and then I found out there was a cocktail party the night before, and it was like, yeah, you should wear something nice for that. I was like, well, that's going to be a problem. Because I have wedding, Griffin, and that's just it. I don't have a cocktail party, Griffin style.
Teresa was telling me her father has every day that she's known him. When he gets home from work, he immediately like walks in the door, and the first thing he does is changes every stitch of clothing to like his homewear. And I love this idea, like socks, like everything.
He's doing it in the Japanese style.
Yeah, he's like sloughing off work in a very physical, real way that I think is a pretty cool move. I don't get that move because I'm at home in pajama pants all day. So I can't be like, oh, another tough one. Oh, the old rat race, time to put on some comfier clothes.
I wish but I had the dedication to do that. I wish that I did have, we've talked about this, I mean, literally last week. I wish I had the dedication to wear something like more stern and restrictive, to just to have that freedom at the end.
You put on a tie every day. It's important to note, I want to make it clear that when I talk about my father-in-law, he's not like changing into pajamas. He gets home, he changes into other regular clothes that you could then go out back into the world in, and then changes again for bed. So he's like got work outfit, home outfit, sleep outfit. I think that's pretty cool.
And his casual yukata, a kimono worn in the casual times. I don't want to part the kimono, but that's what Travis's dad-in-law wears.
Griffin, do you have another Yahoo for us?
Yes. How about this one? It was sent in by Level 9000 Yahoo, Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew Davenport. The Poe of humans. Big, imposing, kind, loving, excellent at kung fu.
Dick out.
Dick always out.
24/7
dick out bonanza. I'm not going to tell him how to do his thing, though, because obviously he knows what's up. Thank you, Drew Davenport. It's by Yahoo Answers user Steffi, who asks, please, I need to know how to start with Popeye the Sailor Man eulogy for my speech class.
What?
Please, I need the speech for this Monday.
What?
Please, Travis, I need to know how to start with Popeye the Sailor Man eulogy for my speech class.
Okay, wait. There's a very important distinction here.
Please.
Are you giving a eulogy for Popeye the Sailor Man or as Popeye the Sailor Man?
As hysterical as I think we could make the latter. With all of us doing our Popeye impressions and what have you. I think we should focus on the former, which is my dude. My
okay,
dude,
Popeye. What has
this,
killed...
This motherfucker here. That's what we're doing.
He got me clean.
He got me clean right now. Popeye the sponsor, man.
I love him like a brother. Yeah, I never told him.
He was my real brother. My name
he
is...
He was my real... I'm Steven the Sailor Man.
I'm Churches.
The Sailor Man.
The Sailor Man.
Oh, God. If our father, Pappy the Sailor Man, were here today. But, of course, they haven't spoken in 36 years.
And now it's too late. Damn
now
it.
Now it's too late.
Damn it, Popeye.
The living years.
Damn it, Popeye. This how
damn you.
This is how you do me.
You leave me like this, you son of a bitch.
I mean, we know his cause of death, right? Bluto's fucking huge. Just killed him, finally.
Do you think Bluto's there? Do you think he had the fucking sheer
I'm
balls?
Sorry, Popeye.
I didn't mean to.
Didn't mean to. We were just doing our usual punch routine. I punched you and you went through the roof, only this time you hemorrhaged.
I hit you through a horse, and then you got one of them big swelling lumps on top of your head, and the horseshoe swung around it, but then you didn't get up again.
I punched you till your brain stopped working, then I tried to pour the spinach down your mouth, and you choked on them.
And the spittoon done fell on your head.
Can you imagine anything funnier than seeing Bluto just like forcing the jaw of Popeye's corpse up and down, trying to have him masturbate?
No, 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 no,
no, no, no, here I come, Bluto. I'm gonna get you real good.
Everybody,
he's
come
strong to the finish.
Everybody,
olive oil, gotta help me scoop the spinach down his throat.
Everybody, I love him.
Everybody comes around and Bluto like lifts him up and puts his arm around him
like, I know he's fine. Listen, I'm the Sailor Man.
Why are you moving his mouth, Bluto? That's terrible.
Don't touch him.
And Wimpy like shows up at like 5 minutes late. He's like, "Hey, good news, everybody! I found a hamburger." And they're like, "Wimpy, not now."
He realizes what's happening. And he's like, "Oh, I wasn't here. I wasn't. I can't go back.
I can't take this heat.
I got people waiting for me on the inside." What if that wasn't his cause of death? What if he just ate some spinach? He was like, "Time to get real." Wait, my arm won't stop growing. Oh shit! And he just like Akira just like explodes.
Oh,
his body gets too too diesel, and then soon he just like starts rapidly expanding until he completely consumes Neo Tokyo.
Let me paint you a picture. He goes in for his yearly checkup physical, and the doctor's like, "Popeye, I can't say it enough. I won't tell you again. You have to knock it off with the spinach. Your body is 92% spinach at this point. I don't know how much more of this you can take. If you change again, you might never come back." And Popeye's like, "Okay," but then one day he sees an injustice and he goes for that spinach and he's like, I can't. But the city cries out, "Popeye, Popeye," and he does it knowing it's the end. And he goes out a hero, just like he always dreamed.
Okay. That wasn't so much funny as much as it was, like, pretty good fan fiction.
Thank you. I'm trying to pitch that. If anyone's listening, if you've got... It will be a multi-million-dollar production. I'm thinking it'll be, like, a Pixar level.
Oh, see, I was thinking, like, a Christopher Nolan Batman flick where Bluto... is it Bluto?
Yeah, yeah.
Would be Pluto's, like Bane.
Pluto is Mickey's dog.
Well, this will be the first dark Pixar movie. I'm thinking, like, a Pixar cartoon... with like a hard PG-13. So if anyone's looking to invest, I've got Kickstarter going for $1 million. You can get a producer's credit for $2 million. You can come to the animation studio. It does start at $1 million.
Okay.
For $13.95, you can go see Kung Fu Panda 3 and just like save your fucking time, because no movie, you'll never want to see another movie after that. Hey, folks, that's going to do it for us. Want to say two things. First off, thank you again to MeUndies, who are dedicated to providing the world's most comfortable underwear. Go to MeUndies.com/mybrother for free shipping and 20% off your first order. Also want to say a huge congratulations to our friend Lin-Manuel Miranda for his entire cast, and also The Roots for their Grammy win and Grammy performance last night.
So fucking good. And so Lynn, good. Lynn, thank you for probably amazing. Accidentally kicking off like a full-blown Illuminati deep dive into your like your whole life history by the you know, the people who are desperately looking into the Freemasons and like the triangles and all that shit with your secret my brother and me gesture. And you, I don't want to... prying eyes.
If you know it, you know it.
If you know it, you know it. If you don't know it,
join our Facebook group.
You join our fucking Facebook group.
We mentioned the website halfway through the episode, but I want to mention again, go to macroshows.com and you can find all of the projects we work on, audio and video. You can find links to all the Twitter accounts, the Facebook groups, the contact info if you're looking for like the P.O. boxes or places to send Adventure Zone item submissions or my brother and me questions in Yahoo's. You can also find our now defunct retired shows. I also want to say I'm launching a new podcast pretty soon because I get bored and generate new podcasts constantly. What?
It's too many.
It's a lot of podcasts, Travi.
It's all I've got, and I love it very, very much. But this one's called Intero Bang with Travis and Tybee. You can find it on macroshows.com. We got a promo up now, so you can hear it and subscribe on iTunes and all that.
I'm actually really happy about this because it makes it an even on the website. Now there are three columns of six. That makes me really happy.
We're also really excited because this is the week that we're moving Trends Like These over onto Max Fun. So if you haven't checked out Trends Like These yet, go check that out. Go check out Still Buffering on Max Fun.
Yep. They just did, oh my God, the new episode of Still Buffering, which is about my wife Sydney and her sister Riley, who's 15, and them like explaining the teen life then and today. There is a segment on today's show, an extended segment of the new episode about Instagram and her explaining Instagram and Snapchat that was like...
Oh, well, I know everything there is to know about those two platforms.
Well, you don't. Trust me, I thought I did. It is the most captivating listen of 2016, as far as I'm concerned. I was losing my mind. It's fascinating.
go check out Rose Buddies that Griffin does with Rachel.
Thank you.
I have never, well, I tried to watch an episode of The Bachelor and I made it about 20 minutes in, but I have never been a fan of The Bachelor, but I fucking love Rose Buddies. It's become my new favorite show.
Thank you, Travi.
And then also go check out Schmanners that my wife and I do. We put out a Valentine's Day special that was all about like the history and customs of Valentine's Day, as well as another normal episode last week all about being a house guest and hosting a house guest. So go check that out. And then check out all the other amazing Maximum Fun shows. There's a ton on there.
Thanks to John Roderick and the Lawn Winners for the use of their theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed.
Yeah, it's a great album. You can find it on, you can get it on vinyl. Get it on wax. Sure.
Get it anywhere you want.
Amazon. Sorry, Juice?
Nothing. Did you have something else?
No, just I love you.
I love you.
I love you too.
I love you guys,
love everybody.
Too.
Do you guys realize that by the time we record this next episode, I will have seen Carly Rae Jepsen in concert? And I will literally just be... I mean, I'm already bliss to light, a floating like piece of light consciousness just exploring the spiral galaxy. And I'm just going to stop by the ACL taping of Carly Rae Jepsen. And I don't know what the next fucking level of consciousness is above that, but I'm really...
You just wake up and you are Carly Rae Jepsen, like being John Malkovich.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty great.
If I could say...
I've been Carly Rae Jepsen for years.
If I could say one sort of personal, more serious thing before we close... And this isn't the sort of thing we normally talk about on the show, and I didn't run this past you guys before, but sometimes we all have like struggles, and I know that our listeners have expressed to us how our show has helped them, and I know that like for future generations, everybody's going to have, you know, things that they're going through. And I don't mean to be oblique, but I don't know your struggles.
No,
but I want to make sure that when my daughter, you know, comes of age, and she is, and her daughter after her comes of age, and she has struggles or things she's struggling with in life. I want to make sure. I want to make sure there's a new Kung Fu Panda movie.
Yeah,
for
sure.
Her mm-hmm. Every time. And
every generation needs its Kung Fu Panda
movies, and I feel like if we could all just go see Kung Fu Panda 3 this weekend, we can really guarantee that continues to be.
Do you
want to be the last link in the chain?
I don't want to be the last link in the Kung Fu Panda chain.
And hey, why wait till the weekend? Is what I'm saying. It's Tuesday now.
It's ideal. The ideal time to see any movie, everyone knows this, is 11:30 in the morning on like a Thursday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guys, I know we don't usually get serious on the show, but I have something I'd like to talk about really quick here at the end.
Uh-huh.
And that is, there's a lot of... the reason I love this podcast and the community that we've sort of surrounded ourselves with is that I feel like there's a lot of sort of bad stuff happening in the world today. Yeah. And it's so easy to like in consume the media that you consume and just sort of be, you know, distracted by the noise of it all, right? And just sort of turn a blind eye to all the injustices that are happening in the world today. And that's fine. Like, you know, I'm glad that we can provide sort of a safe place for people, but I think that we need to sort of confront some of these things head on. And I would recommend starting with joining my boycott of the Village Voice for their fucking slanderous review of Kung Fu Panda 3, written by Alan Schurstel.
Get that negativity out, Alan.
Yeah, Alan, like, we get it, like, you're too cool for Kung Fu 3. We get it. You're too cool for Poe.
It's okay to unironically love stuff, Alan.
Yeah. And so anyway, never buy another issue. Never again. Write him a letter that just says, never again, Alan. You know what you did. And then a paw print, a panda paw print. And then say, this one's for my pandas.
Now, we don't usually get... We don't usually get serious on the show, but can I just say real quick, I have killed before.
Okay.
And the only thing that stops me from killing again is knowing that there's a new Kung Fu Panda movie out. Mm. And if society were to, for some reason, take that away from me, I don't know what I would do.
Travis's soul is the respite of a dark passenger.
I've got what scientists call a dark passenger. See, when I was little, I died for 5 seconds and something came back with me.
Yes.
And the only thing that allows me to control the hunger within
is knowing that there's a new Kung Fu Panda movie every like 2 to 3 years. And I worry that if that ever stops.
Yeah.
You're gonna.
Let me just say
the voice I hear in my head is no language spoken by man.
No.
As far as I know, ever.
It's Sumerian, but it's Jack Black doing the voice, which is weird.
Yeah, and it's just the only phrase I can understand is just two words, and it's old gods.
Yeah.
And if Kung Fu Panda were to ever not be there as a barrier against the darkness, I worry not only for myself, but for everyone in this plane of existence.
If you've just finished watching this clip as a YouTube video after Travis commits some terrible atrocity, you should know that we thought he was kidding. Well, thanks for listening.
You want a final Yahoo?
Yes.
This final Yahoo was sent in by level 9000 Yadru Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yadru Answers user Abby, who asks, can anybody find out if Billy Zane is available to sell pasta at my new store, Cal Pasta?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Skadoosh.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
The three of you enter a cave of a big red dragon and is standing over a hoard of precious golden rubies. And he says, what do you do, adventurers? I'm a dragon man.
I cast fire on him. It's very good.
I address the red dragon to say, us, we're the hosts of The Adventure Zone, a podcast about family playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Very good synergy. Commit to the bit.
I roll to charm new listeners. It is very effective against all odds.
Everybody, we're the McElroys. We host The Adventure Zone, a podcast where we play Dungeons & Dragons together. It's a comedy podcast. We don't take the rules too seriously because there's a lot of them and we did not take the time to learn them. Maybe listen to us. We come out every other Thursday on the Maximum Fun Network. You can find us on iTunes or on MaximumFun.org. I think this promo is a critical hit.